Spectral entities shall not be considered subject to the rules of engagement as dictated in the third article of the code. Additional, no contract of any kind may be agreed with a party that can't take and hold a draft of Khesraq in confirmation of said arrangement.
Welcome to the Regimental Vox, a podcast dedicated to all things Warhammer and wargaming in general. I am your host and Vox operator for the evening, Caleb Meyer. It is Tuesday, January 28th, 2020, and this is episode 65, I believe? Yeah, pretty sure it's 65. Yes. I forgot to note it down before I started, but yes, this is episode 65. So, yeah. So anyway, we got a few things to talk about. Obviously, the LVO was this weekend, so we're going to go over some of that, as well as discuss some of the usual upcoming pre-orders, all that jazzeroo. And finally, we're going to close it out with a little discussion on the new Caradhron Overlords Battle Tome. Doubt I will get everything covered today, so probably going to do that in multiple parts, kind of like the Adeptus Sororitas coverage, and then I will do the same for the Disciples of Tzeentch stuff. So, but let's go ahead and get into this. As far as what's new in my neck of the woods, since the last episode recording, nothing really. Not much has changed. So, been working on hobby and stuff, and that's about it. Trying to finalize some details for the upcoming event that I've got going on in a couple weeks. Just as a reminder for those that live in the West Michigan area, February 15th, there will be a doubles tournament for AOS at the Gamers Wharf. So I'll have a link in the show notes for that event for those who are interested. Haven't updated the event yet with all the new details of what I've got planned, but I will be doing that here before the end of the week. I will have that fully updated and stuff. So, but beyond that, that's it. Like I said, there just hasn't been much new news. So since we just did an episode on Friday, so let's go ahead and slide right into the actual, you know, Warhammer newsy stuffs. All right, so let's see here. For starters, as far as what's going on right now, did that pre-order preview on Friday, but just so you're aware of what is currently available for pre-order now. There's all the new Warcry card packs. Like I said, I covered all this just a few days ago, but just a quick recap. They got 9 new Warcry card packs for you to use. Some of them are bringing in, you know, they are bringing in current armies from AOS that weren't previously available in Warcry. And that includes, like, Caradhron Overlords, Slaves of Darkness, Bone Reapers, Maw Tribes, Arcanites, Tzeentch Demons, Skaven, Beasts of Chaos, and the Warrior Chamber for Stormcast Eternal, which is cool. They're updating some of the other ones, too. Mirmord Banshees are being added in Nighthaunt, as an example, so on and so forth. The Spire Tyrant's Warcry Warband is being released as well, for those who want one of the new Warcry bands, but aren't happy with the current ones that are on tap. The Ogroid Myrmidon is also available for pre-order, as well as the Soldrain Forest from the Ravage Lands terrain sets. So, Necromunda has some reinforcements coming for the Palantine Enforcers and Corpse Grinder Cults, as well as a bunch of new terrain stuff and all sorts of goodies. So, but yeah, so that's the stuff, like I said, covered that all on Friday. Anyways, as far as the preview for what's coming available this coming weekend for pre-order, Warhammer Underworld, Beastgrave will have both, it looks like both anyways, the Worm Spat and, what's the name of the dude here? Rothgorn's Mantrappers. So both those sets are going to be available to pre-order starting this weekend. They also have the Wrath of the Ever-Chosen Soul Wars campaign book coming out. Which is kind of cool. I mean, there's been some question overall, like, once they've updated all these battle tomes, kind of like with 40K, once you got all the codexes updated, what are we going to do from here? So, I don't know if this is going to kind of be like Psychic Awakening or, you know, the Imperium Nihilus books where, you know, this is going to be a regular thing henceforth, or what their plan is overall, but it's a, you know, step in that direction. There's also going to be several books available for pre-order this weekend. The one I'm most interested in is there is a new horror novel, The Oubliette, that will be coming out soon. So pre-orders for the hardback and audiobook starting this Saturday. There's also the Knights of McCrag and Heroes of the Empire. And the Heroes of the Empire is a big one. 880-page paperback omnibus. So, boom. Biggin'. But the other last big thing is those little chibi figures from Bandai. Those are going to finally be available as well. They're going to be blind packs. And it does say they're on sale online and in Warhammer stores from the 8th of February with no pre-order period. So they're just kind of throwing this out here. So I don't know if you'll be able to find them at your FLG and stuff. You'd have to check with them. I'm of a mixed mindset looking at these chibi things. On the one hand, I do like the idea of it. And I was also like, oh man, there's going to be a Skitarii Ranger. Got to get on it. But to be honest, I'm not very pleased with, like, the way that they colored these and stuff. They're very flat. I mean, they got some cool features, like the Sister of Battle has, like, a painted face and stuff, and that's nice. But, like, that Ranger's basically almost all black, it looks like, minus that he's got a red robe, blue eyes, a silver antenna in the back, and then his weapon is this weird bronzy, goldish, coppery dealio with bright blue. Who's and what's it? I don't know. It's like I said, they're okay looking, but I don't know. Maybe they'll look better in person. So, but yeah, so that's the stuff that's starting pre-order this weekend. In other news, if you haven't checked it out yet, the Warhammer community website did get an update. I almost forgot about this. So they've overhauled the way it looks, and now it has like a like and share feature and all sorts of other stuff. So I think it looks nicer. I'm not sure how I feel about it from a functionality perspective. It still does have the ability, you can just click on like the news section, and so you can actually look at all of the news articles in order of when they were released. But as a whole, it just seems a little less functional. I get what they're going for. Like, it does look nice, you know, it does look very nice, but it's just because it only shows like on the main page. It organizes stuff by popularity for the most part. There is some stuff on the front page as far as like latest news and stuff like that, and like I said, there is still a view all news section. But it kind of depends, too, on how you're looking at it. Like, whether you're looking at it on your mobile screen. Like, right now, I just blew up the page on my computer, you know, full-screened it. And with it being full-screen, it's actually not too bad. Actually, I kind of really dig it. But when it's on a smaller screen and it's, like, moving where stuff is placed and how much is shown on the screen at once, etc. I don't know. Like I said, feel a little bit different about it, but that's just me being picky. And then lastly, not quite lastly. So I mentioned that Wrath of the Everchosen book. They did show off some of the contents for it. They're going to be adding in a bunch of new, sub factions and stuff, for Chaos. We are looking at, let's see here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 different sub-factions, at least from what we could tell. With one of them, the Legion of Chaos Ascended, it does look like it has four different War Scroll battalions. So, The rest of them, at least I'm assuming, because those ones, those four that are under the Legion of Chaos Ascendant specify War Scroll Battalion. It says that right on the table of contents. The other ones don't say either way, so maybe those are actually all War Scroll Battalions, because some of them are actually named after War Scroll Battalions that I'm familiar with, like the Munificent Wanderers and Blessed Sons. Both of those are War Scroll Battalions from the Magikin. So, but then they also have the Drowned Men, which kind of looked like it was going to be a sub-faction. Maybe, maybe not. We'll have to see once the book is out. But yeah, basically, the 8 points is being invaded primarily by the Ossiarch Bone Reapers, it looks like. So it's causing this whole big hullabaloo. But yeah, looks pretty cool. Sounds pretty cool. So we'll have to see. And then lastly, they have more details on the next Psychic Awakening book, The Greater Good, which, I mean, right off the bat, we all know Tau is going to be part of this. That's just got to be. So this will be the fifth book. And then we've got Saga of the Beast after that, which I'm going to go out on a limb and say will be Orcs and Space Wolves. And then we've got Engine War after that, which is Admech and Imperial Knights versus Demons and Chaos Knights. So, but The Greater Good covers three different factions. Tau, once again, a big shock there. You know, I think we all would have been weirded out if it wasn't Tau. As well as Astra Militarum and Gene Stealer Cults. So, this should be an interesting one overall. I've been curious what they were going to do with the Astra Militarum specifically. So, but yeah, with this new book too, we're getting that new Shadow Sun model. The artwork that they've done for her looks pretty cool. I'm really looking forward to seeing what this has to offer. Most looking forward to just getting this out of the way though, so we can get to Engine War faster. So yeah, if this one's coming out, let's see here. So if this one comes out next month in February, it's safe assumption it'll be February. Then we'd be looking at probably April for Engine War, based on the rate they've been doing these so far. But we shall see. So, but that is it as far as all of the GW news stuff that I can see right now. So I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back from the break, we will start getting into the Caradhron Overlord's Battle Tome. Once again, time is a little bit short today and stuff, so my plan is namely to just kind of cover a little bit of that Battle Tome today and then pick it up in a on the next episode. But anyway, let's take a break, come back, get into that Battle Tome. See you guys in a moment.
You're listening to the Regimental Vox. Follow the Regimental Vox on social media by going to facebook.com/theRegimentalVoxPodcast or on Twitter at Regimental Vox. Like what you're hearing? You can help support the show for as little as $1 a month by going to patreon.com/theRegimentalVox today.
Welcome back to the Regimental Vox. As I mentioned before the break and stuff, we're going to start going over the Caradhron Overlord's Battle Tome. Once again, time is a little shorter today than initially anticipated. Got started much later, had to do some errands, blah, blah, blah. Some other stuff came up too that kind of resulted in getting this episode finished up later than intended. So, in the interest of time, for today, just going to go ahead and start going over the Allegiance abilities as well as the various Skyports, the sub-factions in this book, and kind of go from there. Now, I will say just right off the bat, this book is filled to the brim with lots of lore and details and everything that's really cool. It's just a really cool-looking book overall. So, but let's go ahead and get into the stuff that people care about, the rules. With the Allegiance abilities, you have the Skyports option, as I mentioned, different sub-factions. If your army is a Caradhron Overlord's army, you can give it a Skyport keyword. Because there's also articles, amendments, and footnotes that are all separate things. And you can pick those, But if you pick a Skyport, it comes with specific articles, amendments, and footnotes instead. And then you get extra stuff on top of that. So there's Beric Nar, Beric Zilfin, Beric Zahn, Beric Urbaz, Beric Mornar, and Beric Thring. So those are the names of the different Skyports. We'll get into what each of those contains in a bit. Next up, we have Aether Gold. Each character on Overlord's hero, sky vessel, and unit with 10 or more models starts a battle with one share of Aether Gold. Once per phase, you could say that one unit from your army that has any shares of Aether Gold will spend one of them. If you do so, subtract one from that unit's bravery characteristic for the rest of the battle, but you can pick a triumph it is eligible to use to immediately apply its effects to that unit. Ignore any restrictions on a triumph that say it can only be used once per battle if you pay to use it with a share of Aether Gold. There is a trade-off, a cost there. You are subtracting from your bravery characteristic. But being able to use a triumph randomly, and I mean, you know, that's not something that too many people typically discuss, but this is just kind of a regular part of their army. So that's kind of cool. Now, it does say to ignore anything that says it can only be used once per battle, so I'm assuming that that means that once you've spent that Aether Gold, that they just permanently have that for the rest of the battle. The way it's worded suggests that, but it also, you know, says if you pay to use it with a share of Aether Gold. So I'm going to, it could be saying that, you know, if they already had a triumph and they used it that battle earlier, that you could ignore that whole restriction and use it again by paying for the Aether Gold, but still only once. You know, if you get what I'm getting at with that. So, but I would say that it probably just suggests they have it for the rest of the battle. We'll see. So we'll have to wait for an FAQ possibly to specify whether that means that I'm able to use things twice because I already had a triumph and then I spent the Aether Gold, or if it's still, you know, or if it means that you get unlimited access to that triumph. So then we have Stick to the Code. When you choose a character on Overlord's army, you can pick one article, one amendment, and one footnote for your army from the tables below. Alternatively, you could roll a d3 on each table to determine your army's interpretation of the Caradron Code. So basically, the Caradron Code is like a contract that, you know, your band of overlords uses kind of as, kind of like the pirate code sort of thing is the idea behind it. But like I said, if you choose a Skyport, you get specific article, amendment, and footnote, but you get extra stuff. Or you can just, if you don't want to use a specific Skyport, you can just use, you can either randomly generate or pick three that you like out of these, but then you don't get the bonuses that the Skyport offers beyond that. So for starters, under the article table, we have Honor is Everything. You can reroll hit rolls of one for attacks made by friendly Caradron Overlord's heroes that target a hero or a monster. Kind of limiting. It's only affecting heroes, and it's only when they're fighting heroes or monsters. So it kind of limits the functionality, but rerolling hit rolls in general is nice, but it's okay. Master of the Skies, you can reroll hit rolls of one for attacks made by friendly sky vessels that target a unit that can fly. Similar issue. On the one hand, I feel like you're going to probably have more sky vessels and stuff in general, just based on the way this book is laid out. But you're very limited to only against targets that can fly, which some armies, like Nighthaunt, that's the whole damn thing. And other armies, it's very minimal to none. And then we've got Settle the Grudges. Oh, I see there's actually a typo here. It's got D3, 1, 2, and 2. Assuming it's supposed to be 3 for that. Settle the Grudges. After armies are set up, but before the first battle round begins, you can pick one enemy unit. You can reroll hit rolls of 1 for attacks made by friendly Caradron Overlord's unit that target that unit. I feel like overall that one's probably going to be more applicable for most people because it lets you have your whole army get a bonus. It only affects when you're attacking one particular target, but if the enemy has a really crucial unit, then there you go. mark that one for death, essentially. So then we got the amendment table. Always take what you are owed. Pick up to D3 different carrier-drawn overload units in your army. Each of those units starts the battle with one share of ether gold in addition to any they normally receive. So that would give you the ability to spend extra gold and, you know, get two triumphs, which inclines me more to think that that interpretation is meant to be that if you've already used the triumph, that's fine. You can use it again by spending your ether gold, or vice versa. I would assume that if you spent the ether gold first, I don't know why you would do that if you had the triumph for free, for starters. I would do the free part first. Since you can have multiple bits of ether gold, that would make more sense, that that's the intention, is it just lets you do it again, not for the rest of the battle, necessarily. Then we've got prosecute wars with all haste. In your first turn, friendly carrier-drawn overlords units can run and still shoot later in the turn. That's pretty handy, actually. If you want to move up quick, snag some objectives quicker, or just get into range faster, you can run and still shoot. Then we've got trust to your guns. Add one to the bravery characteristic of friendly carrier-drawn overlords units while they are more than 3 inches from any enemy units. This is okay. It lets you counter that ether gold thing, which is nice. But, you know, kind of like the neg one on your bravery doesn't affect things too much. A plus one doesn't typically affect things much either. It's okay. I don't know. I feel like out of the three, probably the prosecute wars with all haste is probably the most useful. I would say trust your guns is probably just the least useful in my mind. And then we've got the footnote table. There's no reward without risk. Once per battle, you can reroll a charge roll for a friendly carrier-drawn overlord's unit. You're probably not going to be charging too terribly often with these guys for the most part. You're going to be trying to stay out of combat and just shooting at shit. So then we've got there's no trading with some people. Once per battle, a friendly carrier-drawn overlord unit that has run and or retreated in the same turn can still shoot and or charge. Same thing as basically like the prosecute wars with all haste, but it's only for one unit. But on the plus side, it's good for the entire battle. You know, only once, but I mean, it's not just only on turn one. And then lastly, we have, without our ships, we are not. Once per battle, you can heal up to D3 wounds allocated to a friendly sky vessel. So, these are all kind of nice little bonuses, but they're all very limiting. All the article, amendment, and footnote, they're all very once per battle, or only when against specific targets, or stuff like that for the most part. So it's a little limited overall. I think that it's a nice little flavory thing, but I don't know if it would make me shit bricks either way to have it or not have it. So, all right, so we're going to go ahead and skip ahead to the skyports here though. First we have Beric-Nar, City of the First Sunrise, their abilities. So for starters, Caradron Code, they actually, interesting. They have different footnotes, and I assume, my apologies, I had thought that it was just the same as the, as like the ones that were, the build your own skyport sort of shit, but no, they're actually a totally separate thing. So we'll start with the abilities. You have scholars and commanders. At the start of the first battle round, roll a die for each Beric-Nar hero on the battlefield, including any that are part of a garrison. For each 4+, you receive 1 extra command point. So if you want to make sure you've got plenty of command points to spend, there you go. The Caradron Code, for starters, their article is respect your commanders. You can reroll Battleshock tests for friendly Beric-Nar units while they're wholly within 12 inches of a friendly Beric-Nar hero. Okay, not bad. I don't know how often, once again, you're going to be taking too many Battleshock tests. At least in my experience, it's not a very common occurrence. Or it's rarely something that you're worried about failing, at least in my experience so far. But amendment, trust ethermatics, not superstition. Each Beric-Nar hero can attempt to unbind one spell in the enemy hero phase. If they can already attempt to unbind a spell, they can attempt to unbind one extra spell. So you know, definitely nice in an army that has no magic in and of itself to use, to have a way to combat magic still. And then we've got, for their footnote, through knowledge power, add one to unbinding rolls for Barak-Nar heroes. So, definitely focused more towards anti-wizard sort of stuff. Command trait, the general must have this one, Champion of Progress. Do not take battle shock for friendly Barak-Nar units while they are wholly within 12 inches of this general. That's pretty powerful overall. Once again, I don't know how often you're going to be that terribly damn worried about battle shock tests in comparison to other situations, but it's good to have as a flat out ignore battle shock thing. And then artifact of power, first hero to receive an artifact must be given an ether charged rune. Once per battle, you can change either one hit roll for an attack made by the bearer or one save roll for an attack made by one save roll for an attack that targets the bearer to the roll of your choice. Okay, not bad. I'm not mind blown by this, but it's not bad. Barak Zilfin, the Windswept City. First, they have magnificent sky vessels. You could choose one extra sky vessel in your army to have a great Endrin work. So the great Endrin works are basically like your command ability sort of thing on your general, but these are specific to sky vessels. So we'll cover those in greater detail in a future episode here. Their code, for starters, they have Master the Skies, so they have that one that we, already discussed earlier. Amendment, don't argue with the wind. In your movement phase, if you declare a friendly Barak Zilfin unit will run, do not make a roll. Instead, add 6 inches to the move characteristic of all models in that unit for that phase. So that's actually nice if you will need to move an army around quick. These guys just automate. And it's not just once per game or anything like that. It's the whole army. If you want to run everybody, you can. And just boom, everybody gets an extra 6 inches. Footnote, there's always a breeze if you look for it. Once per battle in your hero phase, one friendly Barak Zilfin unit can make a normal move. It can run, retreat, or disengage. Once per battle in your hero phase. So you can, do the normal move thing, and then I would assume you could still move them again if you wanted to. Command trait, the Barak Zilfin general that is an Arcanaut Admiral. Huh. Okay, so the other one was just... Yeah, just your general must have this command trait. In this case, if you have a general that is also an Arcanaut Admiral, then you must use this command trait. Otherwise, you're free to use a different one by the sounds of it. Master Commander, if this general is part of your army and on the battlefield, each time you spend a command point to use a command ability on this general's war scroll, roll a die on a 5+, you receive one extra command point. So that's cool. Interesting though, once again, that it's limited only if you're using an admiral. Otherwise, it doesn't care. Artifact of power, the first Barak Zilfin hero to receive an artifact of power must be given the Staff of Ocular Optimization. Pick one of the bearer's missile weapons, add one to hit rolls for attacks made by that weapon. Depending on what you're firing and everything else, that could be handy, I would think. Moving on here, we have Barak Zahn's City of the Sun. Abilities, deeds, not words. Add one to wound rolls for attacks made with melee weapons by friendly Skyfarer's units that made a charge move in the same turn, and add one to hit rolls for attacks made with melee weapons by friendly Sky Warden's units that made a charge move in the same turn. So, as far as Skyfarers goes, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of different units that have Sky Wardens, I think, is a specific set of units. So, that seems pretty nice overall, but I don't know. You're generally not going to be charging these guys in. You're usually going to be focused on shooting shit. So, it's improving something that's not their strong suit. And personally, I'm a bigger fan of doubling down on what you're good at, rather than trying to even the playing field on things you're not. Caradron Code, Honor is Everything is their article. Then they have for amendment, Leave No Dwarden Behind. Add 2 to the bravery characteristic of friendly Skyfarers units while they are wholly within 12 inches of a friendly Sky Vessel. Footnote, show them your steel. Once per battle in your hero phase, one friendly Skyfarers unit that is part of a garrison on a Sky Vessel can leave that garrison. Set up that unit wholly within 3 inches of that Sky Vessel and more than 9 inches from any enemy units. So, this permits you to be able to use them in a separate fashion in your movement phase. You could, I'm assuming anyways, you could then move them and everything else. You basically don't have to spend your movement phase bailing them out of the damn vessel. So, command trait. A Barrack Zahn general must have this trait. Bearer of the Iron Star. The first time this general is slain before removing them, roll a die on a 2-up. They're not slain, and you can heal up to D3 wounds allocated to them, and any wounds remaining to be allocated to them are negated. So that's kind of cool. So basically, like, if the what I would recommend, you know, or it's not even necessary, but, like, if somebody, like, say he got hit with, like, 1,000 wounds, and he only had 1 left, so you could just roll for the 1. And if it's going to kill him, roll a die, 2-up, ignore the rest of them, heal him D3 instead. So that's nice. And then Artifact of Power, the Aether Sped Hammer. Pick one of the bearer's melee weapons, add 2 to the attack's characteristics of that weapon. That's, you know, adding more attacks is always nice. Once again, though, it's an army that's not typically going to focus as much on trying to get to grips with the enemy. So might be more limited in use. Next, we have Barrack Urbaz, the Market City. They have the Market City as their ability, even. That's the name of it. Do not subtract 1 from the bravery characteristic of a Barrack Urbaz unit that spends a share of Aether Gold. Okay, that's nice. So you just get to counter that, the only negative about that whole thing. With the code, article, seek new prospects. You can reroll Battleshock tests for friendly Barrack Urbaz units while they are wholly within your opponent's territory. So, kind of interesting choice there and whatnot, although it does require you keeping track of whose territory is whose at all times. Amendment, always take what you are owed. Same one out of the standard amendments. And then footnote, where there's war, there's gold. Once per battle at the end of the combat phase, one friendly Skyfarers unit that fought in that phase gains 1 share of Aether Gold. So, if, you know, somebody's already spent their Aether Gold and you need to get them some more after they've fought in the combat phase. Boom. There you go. But it only happens once. So, command trait, a Barrack Urbaz general that is an Aether Chemist. So, kind of like that other one, you have to have a specific guy as your general to use this. However, the way these are worded doesn't mean you have to have an Aether Chemist as your general if you're running the Skyport. It's saying if your general with that Skyport is an Aether Chemist, you got to give him the stuff. You got Chemist Supreme. Replace the rules for this general's etheric augmentation ability with, in your hero phase, you can pick 2 friendly Skyfarers units wholly within 12 inches of this model. Until your next hero phase, you can reroll wound rolls of 1 for attacks made by those units. This ability cannot be used by an Aether Chemist that is part of a garrison or on a friendly unit that is part of a garrison. So, you know, that seems pretty, you know, that seems nice. And it's nice, too, that it's not just once per battle, but it's, you know, every turn you can use this. And then we have the Great Endron work. Barrack Urbaz Sky Vessel that receives an Endron or Great Endron work must be given the Breath of Morgrim. In your shooting phase, you can pick 1 enemy unit and roll 1 dice for each model from that unit within 6 inches of the bearer. For each 6, that unit suffers 1 mortal wound. You know, if you're driving right up into the enemy's, you know, shit, or you're surrounded, okay, that sounds like it could come in handy, but once again, your goal generally with his army should not be getting up to grips with the enemy, so. And then we have, for our next one, Barrack Mornar, the City of Shadow. They have the Fearsome Raiders ability. Subtract 1 from the bravery characteristic of enemy units while they're wholly within 6 inches of any friendly Barrack Mornar units. The code, we have the Seek New Prospects. So it's that whole rerolling, kind of like the Market City had, rerolling your Battleshock in the opponent's territory. Then they have prosecute wars with all haste for their amendment. And for the footnote, who strikes first strikes hardest. Once per battle at the start of your combat phase, you can pick one friendly barrack Mornar unit that is within 3 inches of an enemy unit. That friendly unit fights at the start of the combat phase, but cannot fight again in that combat phase unless an ability or spell allows it to fight once more than once. So, so that would let you, you know, if the enemy would normally get to choose first, then you can, and you need to make sure that that unit survives or that they do some damage before anything else happens. Boom, there you go. You get to strike first. You don't get to fight again unless they have something else, but you still get to strike first. So, command trait, we have the Barrack Mornar general must have opportunistic privateer. If this general is part of the garrison of a sky vessel that's on the battlefield after armies are set up, but before the first battle round begins, you can remove that sky vessel from the battlefield and set it up again anywhere more than 9 inches from an enemy unit. If you do so, that sky vessel cannot make a normal move in the first battle round, and units in its garrison cannot leave the garrison in the first battle round. So, it basically lets you do some, you know, deployment trickery, which is nice. Artifact of power, the first Barrack Mornar Navigator to receive one must get the Gale Force Stave. At the start of the enemy charge phase, you can pick one enemy unit within 12 inches of the bearer, have charge rolls for that unit in that phase. Useful if you're trying to keep people at bay, for sure. And then lastly, we have Barrack Thring, City of the Ancestors. They have incredibly stubborn for their ability. If a friendly Skyfarer's model is slain while it's within 3 inches of an enemy unit, roll a d6 on a 4-up. That model can fight before it's removed from play. So that's kind of handy, actually, I would say, overall, compared to a lot of the other stuff. Because you're going to find the enemies probably trying to get to grips with you. And if they succeed, then at least you can maybe do a little something before you, you know, bite the bullet. So, Caradhron code, we have, articles, Chronicle of Grudges. After armies are set up, but before the first battle round begins, pick up to 3 different enemy units. You can reroll hit rolls of 1 for attacks made by friendly Barrack Thring units that target those units. Okay. You know, that's not bad. Especially since you can do it up to 3 different enemy units. That's nice. Amendment, take help where you can get it. 1 in 4 units in your army can be a Dwarden unit that does not have the Caradhron Overlord's keyword. Those units gain the Barrack Thring keyword. They cannot be the army general, do not count towards the number of battle line units in the army. So if you want to, you know, include some non KO stuff, that's still Dwarden though, you can, using the Skyport. So if you wanted Fire Slayers or whatever, you could totally do that. Footnote, Honor the Gods, just in case. Once per battle at the start of your shooting phase or a combat phase, you can pick one friendly Barrack Thring unit. Until the end of that phase, unmodified hit rolls of 6 for attacks made by the unit score 2 hits on the target instead of 1. Make a wound and save roll for each hit. Okay, yeah, that's definitely nice, I would say. It's only once per battle, so it's kind of limiting, but so are most of the other footnotes anyway, so. Command trait, a Barrack Thring general must have Supremely Stubborn. When you use the Incredibly Stubborn ability for this general, they can fight on a roll of 2+ instead of 4+. So if your general's about to go down on a 2-up, he does his shindig. So, Artifact of Power, the first Barrack Thring Skyfarer hero. Must be given a grudge hammer. Pick one of the bearer's melee weapons, add 1 to hit rolls for attacks made by that weapon. In addition, if the unmodified wound roll for an attack made by the weapon that targets the enemy unit which was picked for the Chronicles of Grudges article is 6, that attack inflicts D3 mortal wounds on the target in addition to any normal damage. A little complex, but yeah, so, you know, if you have the grudge hammer, hitting somebody who's got the Chronicle of Grudges against them, and you roll a 6, or 5 or 6, excuse me, because it doesn't say it doesn't unmodified, it's, you know, add 1 to hit rolls. But that's for the wound roll. Oh, yeah, okay, it does say unmodified wound roll. I apologize, I misread that at first. You get D3 mortal wounds on top of that. So kind of cool that that kind of plays into the article and stuff there a little bit. So overall, you know, all of these are kind of nice. I feel like the City of the Sun being so focused, you know, Barragzon being so focused on melee stuff, is probably not going to be most people's first choice, given that you're probably more focused on keeping the enemy at bay and blasting the shit out of them. So, but if you're really focused on Sky Vessels, specifically that Barrack Zilfin, the Windswept City might be the better one for you. So, but yeah, overall, some cool stuff. Once again, we'll go into greater detail in the next episode. We will start delving deeper into the Battle Tome. Hopefully won't have anything come up that causes me to have to shorten things up like I had to today. So, but I think that's it for today, guys. We're going to call that here. Thank you guys for listening. As always, hit me up on Facebook, facebook.com/theRegimentalVoxPodcast. Follow me on Twitter at Regimental Vox, and hit up that Patreon, patreon.com/theRegimentalVox. Make a donation. Help me out. Let's get this ball rolling. So, and as always, too, you can go to Danger Close Painting Studio on Facebook. Hit my brother and I up. We can hook you up with some cheap, but good quality, tabletop quality paint jobs. So, but thank you guys for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed this. I will catch you all on the next episode. This is Caleb Meyer signing out for the evening. Have a wonderful week, everyone.